Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
On the last couple of broadcasts, we've been studying Paul's explanation of the aid that the Holy Spirit gives to believers in the work of prayer, something that we need to understand and to practice in the light of this truth. And here's how he states it in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, moving to the next verse, verse 27, we learn the result of the Spirit's help when we pray. The Spirit interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered has a wonderful effect upon the throne of grace. And it's described this way in verse 27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so here is God's reception of the believer's prayers. We would say God the Father. Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Again, whenever we are dealing with the triune Godhead, we are dealing with mystery beyond the ability of any person to comprehend. And so it is not wrong to think of our prayers as going to the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But as we look carefully at the Scriptures, we realize that God the Son is our advocate in heaven. He is pleading before the throne of grace, before the Father's throne on our behalf. And so he is taking our prayers, as it were, and presenting them in that heavenly sphere. God the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and he's helping us to make intercession according to the will of God in words that are appropriate and will accurately express the longings of our hearts that we don't even know how to articulate properly. And all of these petitions are therefore laid primarily at the feet of God the Father. No, it wouldn't be wrong to think in terms of praying to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. No, I don't think it would be wrong even to utter a prayer to the Son, Jesus Christ, or to the Holy Spirit as well, though somehow praying to the Spirit seems a little less obvious to me, and I think to most people, than praying to either the Father or the Son. But again, restricting our focus upon those things which the Bible has taught us, we realize that the Son himself taught us how to pray in the model prayer for disciples. And he said, when you pray, pray after this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so that narrows the focus from the triune Godhead, Jehovah, the triune God, to God the Father, that first person of the Trinity whom we address as our Father. And that is evidently who is receiving these prayers that are enabled and energized by the indwelling Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And so that's what we read in verse 27. Now, he who searches the hearts, who would that be? Well, that's got to be God, and here, God particularly, the Father. He who searches the hearts. That's who that is. God knows every heart. Here's how Paul put that concept in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts, or who tries our hearts, or who searches our hearts. And that's another important truth, namely, that God is continually searching the hearts of men. He knows what's there. He understands not only what we do and what we say, but even what we think. And that is a frightening thought at times when we realize how displeasing to God many of the thoughts of our hearts are, but it's also a comforting thought, a comforting truth, I guess I should say, when it comes to this matter of prayer, because God searches our hearts, and therefore, the way we express it, the particularity of our communication, the theological correctness of what we say is not nearly as important as the condition of our heart, the desire of our heart, the intent of our heart. That's what God sees. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He who searches the heart knows. He knows. He knows to approve. Remember verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So when the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, God the Father reads our heart, and he reads it accurately. Now I say, that can be both encouraging and frightening. God knows our hearts when we are praying hypocritically. God knows our hearts when we are simply praying routinely without a real heart desire to come clean with God, to confess our sins to God, to submit to the will of God, to commune with the throne of grace. God, who knows the hearts, knows when we are being hypocritical in our public praying, our praying before family and friends, our praying perhaps at church. God knows the condition of our heart, and he's no more pleased with our hypocritical praying than Jesus was pleased with the hypocrites of his day, who loved to pray where men would hear them and see them, and loved to make long prayers so that they might be heard for their fluency of speech, and thought that they were heard, because of their much speaking. And that doesn't impress God at all. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door, and your heavenly Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly. God knows the heart. God sees in secret. God knows who is earnest in prayer, who's genuine in prayer. Men may not know. Men will not know with any degree of accuracy. Men may suspect that someone who purports to be a great giant of a saint of God is really lacking in prayer because his pretense is obvious and his genuineness is suspect. Or men may recognize or suspect that a humble saint of God who doesn't stand out in earthly circles, nevertheless, is probably a great prayer warrior because we see the image of Christ in his life. Men may suspect, but they don't know. But God knows. God knows the heart. God knows the secret prayers. Your heavenly Father, which seeth in secret. That's similar to the idea here in Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the heart knows. And that's what makes our prayers, prayed with a believing heart by a true Christian, every true Christian being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and aided by the Holy Spirit in his prayers in the manner described in verse 26, that's what makes every believing prayer effective, always. It never fails. Never. And God approves the intercession of the Spirit because those intercessions are always perfectly in accord with his will. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Again, we have problems with that, don't we? Because we don't always know what God's will is about a particular matter, even if we know all the Bible perfectly, and nobody does. Even if we know the Bible thoroughly, and many people do, we don't always know what God's will is for this particular matter that has arisen in our life. So we pray the best we can understand the will of God, and we often say with our Savior himself, "Not my will, but thine be done." We want to pray according to God's will. But the fact of the matter is, when we are praying in the manner described in Romans 8:26, then our prayers will always be according to the will of God, because God, who knows the heart and who receives the intercession that is made for us by the Holy Spirit, he hears this intercession that is always according to the will of God. And we know that if prayer is to be accepted, it must be according to God's will. But what this is telling us is, it always is according to God's will if we are indwelt by God's Spirit and we are praying, therefore, in the Spirit, which means simply praying in faith, praying in sincerity, praying without hypocrisy, depending upon God the Spirit to help us in prayer. That's what praying in the Spirit means. And when we're praying that way, we can't go wrong. We always pray according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, and we are his clients, you might say. And so the Holy Spirit, who teaches us how to present our petitions properly, also acts as our representative whenever our efforts fall short. He goes to bat for us, like the lawyer who takes the case of his client and presents it before the court in the right way, in the right language, according to the statutes of the law that he understands that his client doesn't. So the Holy Spirit takes our petitions and presents them before the throne of God in perfect accordance with the will of God, in perfect harmony with the Bible, the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit himself is the author of. I fully am persuaded and joyfully declare, I'm never left unaided. My Father hears my prayer. And so as God searches believers' hearts, he finds unuttered and unutterable groanings. Though unexpressed, God understands them perfectly and accepts them as in perfect accord with his will. Though surpassing our understanding and ability to articulate, these desires are expressed by the Holy Spirit as his intercessions in our hearts. Since these petitions are his, they are always as agreeable to God as are Christ's intercessions at the Father's right hand. The measure of God's grace in answer to prayer is not our understanding and articulate petitions, but the knowledge, wisdom, and love of the Holy Spirit of God, our comforter, our advocate, our helper, who is given to God's people in order to help us to pray. What an encouragement to pray! Why pray? Because God commands it. Why pray? Because God promises rich blessings in response to it. Why pray? Because the Holy Spirit prays in the hearts of those who pray, and he only prays in the hearts of those who themselves pray. Why pray? Because the Holy Spirit guarantees that every sincere prayer will be properly presented before the throne of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.